Parmesan. New spaghetti barbecue.
Please, the court, counsel. My name is Gretchen McGill, and I represent the appellant, Studio Sullivan, who is the personal representative of the estate of Bernadine M. Parmesan. This appeal involves whether the appellees, Denise Baumgart and Kenneth Parmesan, made proper claims against the estate. The appellant is asking this court to overturn the trial court's determination that the estate should reimburse the appellees for real estate taxes paid, but affirm the lower court's decision that the estate is not liable for rents paid by appellee Kenneth Parmesan. Bernadine M. Parmesan died on August 23, 2015. Prior to her death, she entered into two lease agreements with Kenneth Parmesan for certain property in which she owned a life estate. And the terms of both of those lease agreements were November 1st, 2014 to October 31st, 2015. Subsequent to her death, after the probate was filed, the appellee, Denise Baumgart, filed an application determined tax liability.
Was that a claim?
We believe it was meant to be a claim. We do not, one of our arguments is that it did not meet the statutory requirements for a claim, but the trial court definitely treated it as a claim.
Which statutory requirement did it not meet?
It did not meet the requirements of 302486 in that it did not identify the amount of the claim.
Where does the 2486 use the word amount?
It doesn't, the statute in itself doesn't explicitly state that the amount of the claim needs to be included in the claim, but
is there any dispute about what the amount was?
Well, at the time we didn't know, the estate didn't know the amount of the claim because it was only claimant, or only the appellee, Denise Baumgart, and there was no evidence of what she paid for the taxes on the property for the year she was claiming the estate should have paid.
Wasn't that easily ascertainable?
By looking it up, I mean, I guess the estate could have looked it up, yes, but I think this court has ruled in J.R. Semplot versus Jelinek and J.J. Schaefer Livestock Hauling that 302486, I mean, the purpose of that statute is to give the estate knowledge of the identity of the claimant, the amount of the claim, to allow for efficient administration of the estate in those two cases.
Is that pretty evident in this case, those issues? Who was claiming and what the amount was?
No, Your Honor. In the application, it only identified Denise Baumgart and did not involve any. We didn't know if they were asking to split the taxes, that we had to pay the taxes in full. And both of those cases, even though the person representative had knowledge that there was some amount of claim out there, the court held that that's not sufficient under 302486. And after the original application filed by the appellee, Denise Baumgart, in July of 2016, another amended application for determination of tax liability is filed by the appellee. And this time is the first time that the estate hears about a claim from Kenneth Parmesan. And in addition to now taxes, he's also asking for rent reimbursement for rent that he paid pursuant to the lease agreements. So as the court has indicated, we believe the two issues that, the main issues of why the trial court erred is 302486, and that neither the application or the amended application were proper claims filed under the Nebraska Probate Code. And then in addition, under 302485, these claims clearly arose after the death of Bernadine M. Parmesan. We're talking about what they want is real estate, what the athletes are asking is reimbursement for real estate taxes paid on December 31st, 2015, which is undisputedly after the death of...
Wasn't there a contractual obligation for the real estate taxes?
There was a contractual...
Was that entered into before it had seen the step?
Yes, it was.
And whose obligation was it under the contractual obligation?
The contractual obligation expired on November 1st, 2015, so the taxes that became due on December 31st, 2000... So, no, Your Honor, there was not an agreement for any real estate taxes that became due on December 31st, 2015. The lease agreement did contain a provision that that Bernadine or the lessor would pay the real estate taxes, but the term of that lease agreement expired on November 1st, 2015. The term was only November 1st, 2014 through October 31st, 2015. So she did pay, and it's undisputed, she did pay the real estate taxes that became due, pursuant to the contract, which was on December 31st, 2014.
The lease provision just says pay real estate taxes,
right?
Right. Is that ambiguous?
No. No, Your Honor.
Well, what's the, if there's a single reasonable interpretation, that's
well,
your point of view.
We believe the lease as a whole is not ambiguous. It clearly states the lessor will pay the real estate taxes, but the term is also very clearly defined as November 1st, 2015 through October, November 1st, 2014 through October 31st, 2015. So that's the term she agreed to pay the real estate taxes.
For which year or years?
It would have been the ones that became due December 31st, 2014, during the term of the lease. We don't believe it's reasonable to interpret the lease that she would agree to pay taxes after the lease is terminated. In addition, the claim, the amended application that includes Kenneth Carmazine was filed at a time because the claim for taxes and rent arose after the death, so they have to be pursuant to 302485. All claims after the death have to be filed within 4 months. Assuming that taxes became due December 31st, 2015, pursuant to Nebraska Statute 77206, all claims had to be filed by May 1st. Now, Kelly Denise Bonger filed her claim in time, but they say that no knowledge of Kenneth Carmazine or his claim for taxes or rent due until July 28, 2016, well after the 4 month time period prescribed by 302485.
So is my understanding correct that both parties took the position before the county court that the nature of these claims were claims that occurred after death?
Correct, Your Honor.
Now, did I misunderstand your brief? Were you backtracking from that in a brief?
I believe that appellees are backtracking on that in our brief, that the claims may arose before death. And I'd like to reserve the remaining time for rebuttal if necessary.
Thank you very much. Mr. Peck, good morning to you.
My name is Mark Peck. I'm here on behalf of the athletes, Denise Baumgart and Carmazine. As noted, this is an appeal from the Hall County Court. Standard of review on these types of cases is well-defined. In the absence of an
real estate taxes that, yes, in Nebraska, they do not become assessed, but they're just paid in arrears. And so a tenant comes to the landlord and says, I'll rent your ground. You pay the taxes. I'll give you cash rent. And it's based upon these financial considerations that the individual pays the rent. The landlord accepts the rent. And then agrees to pay the taxes.
If there had not been a written lease in this instance, the term of the lease under our case law would have run from March 1 to March 1. And the time when the taxes became due for 2015 would have been within the term of the lease. But here, the written lease ran from November 1, 2014 to October 31, 2015. And so the only events relating to 2015 taxes that occurred during the term of the lease would have been assessment and levy, but not any, no payments were due and no payments would have been delinquent. Isn't that all correct?
Well, I think that the lower court properly looked at the intent of the parties, because this lease doesn't say, but it just says I'll pay the taxes. It's not clear. So
your argument then is that it's ambiguous. You didn't attempt to reform the contract. This wasn't a proceeding in equity seeking to reform it. You're stuck with the contract and what it says, right?
Yes, we're stuck.
All it says is pay taxes.
That's right.
And you're stuck with the term from November 1st to October 31st.
Sure, Your Honor, but again, that's the term of the lease, but the intent was to associate the taxes attributable to the time frame when you're paying the rent.
And from what language in the lease do we draw that intent?
Well, I think where you draw that intent from is the parties, what they intended when they entered into the agreement. Because it's ambiguous, you're allowed perhaps to look outside the lease, the confines of the contract, to the intent of the parties. And in this case, we had individuals filing affidavits stating what they believed was common understanding of real estate agreements and holding foreground.
By operation of law, what taxes became due during the term of the lease?
The taxes became assessed and payable in outside the actual term of the lease for 2015. That's true, but the parties, that's simply because taxes in Nebraska are paid in arrears, just like FSA payments that you reference in leases often aren't paid till the next year, but they're attributable to that crop year. It's the same principle.
Well, we're sorting out various terms. We have the term of the lease. It's not a calendar year. It's more the nature of a fiscal year. That's what proposes attention.
It's true that it does not follow the normal in Nebraska, March 1st to February 28th. That's what a normal crop year is for a lease. However, again, I think that given the fact that all of the rent payments were made during the 2015 calendar year, all of the income went to the estate during the 2015 calendar year from crops grown during the 2015 calendar year, and these, regardless of when they were assessed or determined, they still are 2015 taxes. Based upon the value of the land during that 2015 period, and that's the way the parties intended for the agreement to work. And in fact, I believe that that's the way most, in fact, all farm leases work, is that you equate income and expense.
2015 taxes related to that 2015 crop. And that's the argument the appellees make. They argue that they filed valid claims. In this case, there is some question about the timing of the claims. The reality is that this court has ruled in the past that filing an action against an estate is sufficient and equivalent to filing of a claim. The claim does not need to specify precisely the amount of the claim and has to be determined at trial, assuming the claim is denied, and that there's an action, which in this case there was.
Both parties took the position in front of the county court that these were claims that accrued after death.
I could argue that they accrued before death based upon the fact
that's not the question I just asked. The question I asked is, what position did both parties take in front of the county court?
In front of the county court in our briefs, I argued it both ways. I said that I could argue that these were prior to death because at least existed prior to death and only terminated at the time of her death. I could also argue and understand where the court, which the court ruled that these were claims after death because the real estate taxes weren't due until after death. And secondly, that the rent was paid after death.
I want to return for a moment to your argument about ambiguity. For there to be parole evidence admissible, there first has to be ambiguity in the lease. What are the two reasonable but conflicting interpretations of the lease language? Bear in mind, you have to read not just the one provision, but the whole thing.
The lease is a one-page lease, and it has a single line that says, lessor will pay real estate taxes. A reasonable interpretation of that would be what the court has kind of suggested, that is, well, the term of lease would include those, because the term of lease ended prior to the 2015 taxes being assessed. Another reasonable long-term reading of the lease would be that the common understanding in the agreement of the parties was that the lease went in conjunction with the rent payments.
But respectfully, however, that's a circular argument. You're saying there's ambiguity because you've inserted ambiguity into it. I'm looking for the reasonable meaning. You've articulated one, which I agree, the term coupled with the language of the provision is one reasonable way to read it. But how do we reasonably read it just based on the language of the lease to read the other way?
Because it's a 2015 lease, and they were 2015 taxes just during that time period.
Is there any record about how these leases were treated in previous years?
It's my understanding that this was the first year they did a rent lease. That's my understanding. And so in the past, they had been, he'd been renting the property, she pays the taxes, he pays the rent.
Is any of that in the record?
About prior?
Yes.
No, I don't think so.
So what you just responded to the Chief Justice's question attempts to go beyond the record, doesn't it?
I apologize. May I finish?
Yes.
There's nothing in the record that I understand about any prior leases. And
so, no course of dealing evidence, to be succinct.
Correct.
Thank you.
We respectfully request that the lower court's decision be affirmed with respect to the rent or the taxes and reversed as to the rent. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We have to have a rebuttal.
1 minute and 45 seconds, Ms. McGill.
Just going back to the issue of whether or not this claim arose before or after the death of Freddie and Carmody, I believe that Cal- councilman spoke, and that at the county court level, there was no arguing both ways. I was in direct court to page 47 of the transcript. That contains a brief written by Mr. Beck, in which he states, quote, in fact, these claims did not arise prior to Nicene's death because the claimants were not notified of the estate's refusal to pay the real estate taxes until at least December 31st, 2015. But this is a case where the time period of 30-24-85 clearly imply that the trial court correctly determined, using that provision, that Kenneth Carmazine did not make a proper payment for rent, but the court should have applied that same time limit in terms of the taxes that became due. And just going back briefly on the issue of the lease, this court is right that the parties, you know, executed a lease that is different than the norm for farmland and prop shared and paying of the rent pursuant to that, but they entered into this lease, and it's clearly, the terms clearly defined as November 1st, 2014 to December 31st, 2015. We believe it's a clear record error on the lower court in order holding that the lease is unambiguous, so we would respectfully ask this court to reverse the lower court's order requiring the estate to pay the real estate taxes and uphold the lower court's order.
Thank you very much. Our next case.